cousin out there that want to come forward to the story time, you're welcome to come to these first three rows that are reserved here for us. Right here. Yeah, just have a seat.
there be light.
Thanks. All right. Now we are going to hear the story of Jesus' birth. And everyone, kids, both the small and the tall, we need your help to tell it. All right? All throughout the story, stories will appear up on the screen. And whenever you see one, that's your moment, to jump in with a special phrase or a sound. So let's practice. When you see an angel, you will say, "Behold." When you see an angel, you will say,
"Behold."
Thank you, children. When you see a shepherd, you will say,
"Good news."
Well, you're good at this already. Nice. When you see a wise man, you'll say,
"Ah."
When you see a donkey, you'll say,
"Yeehaw."
Nice. And when you see a sheep, you will say,
"Baa."
Oh, they're better. Okay, there we go. All right, so you're ready. You need practice. Okay. In the small town of Nazareth lived a young woman named Mary and a man named Joseph. They were ordinary people, living quiet, faithful lives. One day, everything changed. An angel appeared to Mary with a message from God. She would have a baby, God's own son. And she was to name him Jesus. Mary was amazed, a little unsure, but she trusted God with her whole heart. Not long after, another angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him not to be afraid. This child was from God, and Joseph was to care for Mary and the baby who was coming. Months passed, and the time for the baby's birth was getting close. A message was sent across the land. Everyone had to travel to their family's hometown to be counted. So Mary and Joseph began a long journey to Bethlehem with a donkey. Almost 100 kilometers of walking along dusty roads, over hills and valleys. Mary rode part of the way on a donkey, holding her stomach as the baby kicked and grew. The journey took days. Mary and Joseph knew God was with them, even when the way felt long. When they finally reached Bethlehem, the streets were crowded. People were everywhere. Cousins, families, travelers, merchants, all looking for a place to stay. Joseph knocked on door after door, but every guest room was full. Finally, one kind innkeeper shrugged sadly and said, "There's no room left, but you're welcome to stay in the stable." So that's where they went. It wasn't fancy, but in that simple place, God was about to do something extraordinary. That night, Mary gave birth to her son, the baby, the Son of God, just as the angel had said. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger, which was a feeding trough filled with fresh hay. Joseph sat close beside her, filled with wonder. Around them were quiet animals. Donkeys? Camels? Sheep? Watching over this tiny king. The world didn't know it yet, but hope had arrived. Out in the dark hills beyond Bethlehem, some shepherds watching over their sheep. It was an ordinary night. Peaceful, quiet, maybe even a little boring. Then suddenly, the sky was lit up with a bright light, brilliant light. A whole host of angels had appeared, filling the sky with God's glory. The shepherds were terrified. wouldn't you be? But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. We bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. You will find him lying in a manger." "We have to go. Let's see this child." So the shepherds gathered their things and hurried off with their sheep trailing behind them to find him. Far away, some wise men studied the stars. Sorry, I forgot that one. Let's try that. Far away, some wise men studied the stars every night. One evening, they saw a new star rising. One so bright, one so unusual, they knew it meant something important. The wise men began their long journey following that star across mountains, deserts, and cities. They traveled for months, asking everywhere they went, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Finally, the star stopped over the place where Jesus was. Filled with joy, the wise men entered and saw the child with Mary. They bowed down and offered him their finest gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, treasures fit for a king. And so, for a baby, everyone gathered: Mary and Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, the donkeys, and the sheep. Each one different, each one surprised, each one full of wonder. It wasn't a palace, it wasn't a royal hall, but it was a perfect place for a different kind of king. A king who came to bring peace, hope, joy, and the good news for the whole world. Now, let's listen to a song that celebrates that night Jesus was born. You're on, kids.
I you are our Father and that you came at this time for Christmas as a tiny baby who we love and adore. We thank you that we get to celebrate together with joy on this season as you came to be our Savior. You came to the world to bring your light, your hope, your peace, and your love to us this morning. And we love that you bring joy to our faces as we hear the kids sing about how you are their Savior, how you are our Lord. Help us to remember that in our hearts and in our minds this week as we go out. We pray for Pastor Dave as he leads us in a message this morning. In the name we pray. Amen. If there is any kids still left in here, you can head to the Grace Kids area for class.
The sons of earth toil under dark, rolling storms. The daughters of the land carry their own loads of strife. And out of the inky night, the sons of earth toil under dark, rolling storms. The daughters of the land carry their own loads of strife. And out of the inky night, the shepherds guard the vulnerable that sit under their care and wait for dawn's helping hand. Then, without warning, a horizon is born, not from beneath the earth, but from heaven above, bending every knee that witnesses it, flooding hard hearts with wonders of light and love, striking fear and awe into the bravest soul. It blinds those who see. It gives sight to those who don't. The good news of great joy streams from the mouths of angels. He has been born, Christ the Lord. So leaving the only security they know, the shepherds flee their fields, the magi leave their homes, all toward the light of hope they'd heard of all their lives, with zeal flowing through their veins. And look into the eyes of the author of light and life. They touch the fingers of the hands that formed them, and watch the breath of God appear in the world he made. The earth, once hunched with despair, lifts her head and receives her king. And the men who God chose to tell run through Bethlehem and sound the joy, shout the wonders of his love to all who hear. Your eternal king is born.
Have you ever been in conversation with someone, or maybe it's happened to you, where you want to tell a funny story, and before you get it out, you're just thinking about the story, and you just start laughing? And you're laughing so hard, or the person is laughing so hard, they can't tell the story because they're just lost in their own joy and their own laughter. Has this happened to you? It happens to me every once in a while. And it's like, okay, buddy, just take a breath, relax. And then usually the person who you're telling it to doesn't think it's as funny as you do, because you kind of got all the laughter, you stole the laughter out of the story. But sometimes that happens, doesn't it? And I know in our family, we really like to tell funny stories. We like to be able to laugh together at the dinner table or in the living room or wherever we are, sometimes even in the car, where just these goofy things that happen in our life, we just want to share them with each other and to be able to have that little bit of joy where we are just able to laugh at something we did or something that happened around us or to us or to someone else. Or it might even be a cute puppy video that makes us laugh, or a little child. And that's the beauty of it, too, is that when you see a child who's just lost in that happy moment and where they just have this deep, deep laugh, where it's just this beautiful, pure joy that happens in their lives. But then at the same time, probably 5 minutes later, they might be crying, or they might be angry, or they might be freaking out. And a lot of times those happy moments are just very short-lived. But there's this joy that can well up within us, but it takes time for us to be able to notice the joy that can happen in our lives. It might be a moment, or it might be a longer version of time. And today we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1, where Mary, who has just found out that she's pregnant, she's met this angel, and she wasn't sure if her fiancé was going to keep her or not, but he decided that he was still going to marry her. So things are okay, but now she's pregnant. She's going out of town to go visit her cousin and friend, Elizabeth, who's quite a bit older than she is, but together they are able to experience this moment of joy. So let's look at verse 39. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then Mary sings a song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant, his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So this is a moment where I imagine this visit was just filled with joy and laughter and celebration that Mary and Elizabeth were able to have together, just anticipating their two sons, John the Baptist and Jesus. And just imagine how the joy of just John the Baptist, who wasn't even born yet, and yet just sensing the presence of Jesus in the room, leaped for joy right within her womb. And I imagine it probably kicked a vital organ of Elizabeth. That tends to happen when children are active in the womb. But the thing is, it took a little bit of focus for both of them to be able to get to this moment of joy. You see, for Elizabeth, she was quite old. And this was something where she was promised, and it was told to her that she was going to be pregnant, could become pregnant, but she was beyond the years of being pregnant. And here, Mary isn't even married yet. And so it's kind of a strange situation, and yet joy abounds because they're focusing on the joy of what is going on. Elizabeth, who has waited decades to get pregnant, is finally pregnant. And Mary, who didn't necessarily want to be pregnant, was now pregnant and isn't even married yet. And yet she's pregnant. And so it makes sense for them to have to focus on the moment and notice the joy that emerges in their situation that is not normal and a bit scandalous. You see, joy is something that is found within our lives. Or it isn't just found within our lives, it has to be noticed. I've heard it said that noticing regular things can at times spark life when big things feel too heavy to hold. And there's so many things within our lives. It might be grief, it might be anxiety, it might be some of the challenges that we're facing in the world or that the world is facing. And it's hard to focus on those moments of joy. But sometimes those little regular things that we have within our lives, and it might be just a warm drink on a cold day. It was a very cold week. Coffee tasted a little bit better. It brought a little bit more joy, potentially, if you drink coffee. Or it might be an act of kindness or just a special encounter that you had with somebody throughout the week. On Wednesday evening, I was out with the men's group and then stopped at the at Safeway just to pick up a few groceries on the way home. And I was just kind of tired from a fairly long day and a great men's group. And you just kind of feel this sort of fatigue. And then I went to the cashier, and I think I picked the right cashier because she just had a lot of joy and sparked a lot of joy and asked a lot of questions and had a lot of conversation to be able to have with me. And I'm like, I'm not really having it, but her joy was contagious. And so I'm like engaging in conversation with her. And then it gets to the point where she's like, "Hey, do you collect Scene points? Because you can scan your card and collect Scene points." I'm like, "Hey, that sounds good." So I scan the card, get some Scene points. And she said, "You have some money in here. Would you like to use some of this money to be able to like cash in some points to pay for your groceries?" I'm like, I don't know. She's like, "Nah, go to a movie instead." And we both kind of laughed, right? But it's those little moments that we have within our life that can just spark some joy and some enjoyment within life. And sometimes it happens just for a moment, and that's okay. But then there's still some underlying fun that happens within our situation, within our life. And Henry Nouwen talks about how we need to choose joy within our lives. He says that joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. And sometimes moment by moment every day. And I think sometimes we need to have a rediscovery of joy within our lives. And sometimes that looks like adjusting our expectations and having adjusted expectations where you don't have to create magical moments. Just create moments that feel manageable, right? Maybe it's just, I can't manage this person or I can't manage this situation, but I can manage making a decent cup of coffee, or I can manage having a delicious cookie. We'll have lots of those right after this, just so you know. But just create moments that feel manageable and may even help you feel a little bit grounded, a little bit grounded. Sitting a little closer to the heat register on a cold day, that helps you feel grounded a little bit. It gives you a little bit of joy and just having some adjusted expectations where things don't have to be perfect because, newsflash, they never will be perfect. So stop trying. But they can be good. They can be joyful. We also need to recognize that joy and pain, joy and grief, can be in the same place, sometimes even at the same time. They coexist, and feeling sadness doesn't cancel our ability to experience joy. You see, joy is internal. It's a resilient inner condition of the heart, rooted in God's presence and promises, which can exist even in the midst of sorrow and trials. It's a choice, an active posture of the will to delight in God. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10 says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. You see, there is a suffering and a joy connection. In 2024, the World Happiness Report, which I had no idea this existed, but I found it, and it's kind of a neat resource. It's the world's most foremost publication of global well-being and how to improve it. And so it's basically a whole study about joy. And in 2024, it was revealed that certain types of suffering increase our capacity for joy by helping us build meaning and resilience. And the research found that people who faced and processed challenges reported 40% higher levels of life satisfaction than those who avoided difficult experiences. So that means they're facing the same experience, but certain people are choosing to ignore those experiences and not deal with them. And other people who are engaging in those experiences, whether it be conflict or some sort of difficulty, where they're actually engaged in what's happening around them, they experience more joy. And it's like emotional muscles where they need resistance to grow stronger. And see, when we learn to sit with discomfort rather than run from it, we develop a more profound capacity for joy. Something to think about. Another way to be able to have more joy in our lives is to let light in. Now, this is an intentional visualization of letting light into our lives. Where did light invade your life this week, this month, this morning? Something that was good or positive that sparked joy, and it helps retain our minds and retrain our minds to notice what is good around us. Another way to spark joy is to let others in to help kindness and connection, and joy often comes through others. Think of the story of Mary and Elizabeth and little John, who wasn't even named John at the time because he wasn't even out in the world. He was still in the womb, and yet there was joy and connection with all three of them. Sometimes joy can happen with traditions and habits. We talk about traditions a lot at Christmas because they help build margin and space for joy within our lives. It might be a walk or a candle, or it might be a favorite song or something that anchors you in the present moment is a tradition and a habit that can spark joy. But also to be present in the moment. Sometimes we really struggle within our lives to be present where we are when we're there. And joy is almost always found in the present moment, in engaging in the present moment. Not the one where we imagine or we fear or we regret or we're planning for later, but it's in the moment here and now. And the thing about joy, this is an interesting concept, is that joy is not something we found, but it doesn't just appear, but it is waiting for us. Joy is waiting for us to engage. Joy waits for us to notice. Joy waits for us to focus. It waits for us to be open. It waits for us to participate. Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. She pondered them. She created space for them. She focused on the joy of her situation. There's a psychologist, Rick Hansen, who talked about how our brains are naturally wired for negativity. Did you know that? Our brains are naturally wired for negativity, not just if you're Canadian. On a cold day. But it takes 2 seconds for our brains to think negatively. But it isn't where it ends. A thought to emerge, a positive thought to emerge, can take up to 12 seconds. So 2 seconds for a negative thought, 12 seconds for a positive thought. And we could train our brain to be able to focus on positive. It's not just about positive thinking, right? That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes we're very focused on the negative things that are happening around us that we forget to focus on the good. Because friends, when we talk about joy, when we talk about Jesus, it's the good news, isn't it? It's the good news. And there are good things within our lives, within our relationships, within the people around us, within our situation, within our world. There are good things that are happening because of Jesus, because of God's presence in this world. And so I think the challenge for us in our reflection time is just be thinking in your mind, and we'll get to it in a minute, just be thinking in your mind something that is a gift from God that is good in your life. Just bring it up. Just try to think of something, okay? There's a pastor named Ken Shigemitsu who suggests that we take 14 seconds of just imagining. Imagine a good gift from God and something that you are thankful for. And in our time of reflection together, just some challenges for us. Where have you noticed joy in your life lately? What has helped you savor that joy within your life? What is something that stole that moment of joy away from you? And then also, how is Jesus inviting you to experience joy in this season? Through pausing, through reflection, through acts of service, through fellowship, through hospitality, through conversation, through building relationships, or maybe in some other way that God is inviting you into a joy experience. It's waiting for you. So let's just pause for a moment and just close our eyes if you need to, and just be in a state of prayer, and just think of that thing within your life, that gift that is good. And we'll just take a moment to just let that swell within us. God, in this moment, we are approaching you. We are approaching the goodness within our life and pursuing joy. Joy that is waiting for us to experience. And God, I just pray that in the midst of all the things that are happening in this world, it's so easy to find bad news. It's so easy to find the negative that there is around us. And yet, God, there is Jesus. Jesus who was born into this world. Jesus who brought light in the darkness. Jesus who brought positivity where there was negativity. Jesus who brought salvation where there was just loss. Jesus who brought forgiveness where there was no hope for forgiveness. Jesus who brought victory where all seemed like it was lost. So God, I pray that in this season leading up to Christmas and beyond, Lord, that you would help us to look for joy within our lives, to be present in moments, to listen to you, to pause and reflect and just let joy swell within our lives, to glow more